The Italian Wine Podcast is the community-driven platform for Italian wine geeks around the world. Support the show by donating at italianwinepodcast.com. Donate 5 or more euros and we'll send you a copy of our latest book, My Italian Grape Geek Journal, absolutely free. To get your free copy of My Italian Grape Geek Journal, click support us at italianwinepodcast.com or wherever you get your pods. Grazie mille.
Welcome to Masterclass U.S. Market with me, Giuliana Colangelo. This show has been designed to demystify the U.S. market for Italian wineries through interviews with experts in sales and distribution, social media, communications, and so much more. We will quiz each of our esteemed guests at the end of each episode to solidify the lessons that we've learned. So sharpen your pencils, get out your notebooks, and join us each week to learn more about the U.S. market.
Hello, welcome to Masterclass U.S. Wine Market. Today, I'm thrilled to welcome Giulia Cecchi to the Italian Wine Podcast. Giulia is a brand ambassador for Famiglia Cecchi and Castello Monsanto, her family's winery in the heart of Chianti. Giulia moved to New York in 2016, working initially for a fine food distributor and as regional sales director for Volio afterwards. Now she's working back with her family's winery back in Tuscany. Welcome to the show, Giulia. It's so great to have you here.
Oh, thank you. And hello, everyone. It's a true honor to be part of it. So thank you so much.
Of course. So Giulia, today we're going to talk a little bit more about the experience of coming to the U.S. and working the U.S. market, actually as an Italian winery owner and family member, and then going back to Italy and what that experience was like. But before we dive into today's discussion, tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to work for your family's business.
Sure. I grew up in Chianti Classico. So my beginning with the wine war and the wine really started when I was born. I grew up between two families and two wineries, as my father is the fourth generation at Famiglia Cecchi with the historical estate Villa Cerna in Chianti Classico. And my mom is the third generation of Castello di Monsanto, still in Chianti Classico, but in another era of the appellation. I really started growing up with the two sides of the family. And I always say that Sangiovese is in my vein. My first harvest when I was 4 years old. So everything started back when I was very young.
4 years old. Wow. That's amazing.
Yes. Kindergarten. I was in the kindergarten. It was a beautiful
different kind
day
of kindergarten, when... right? Yeah, sounds pretty nice.
Then I grew up there in Chianti Classico for until high school. I really fell in love with the air of Chianti Classico during high school. It was a wild time, wild approach for Giulia. I was riding a motocross bike in the vineyards together with my father and my brother. And those were really the moments where I connected with this terroir and this territory. And then I decided to move to Milan to do the first jump out of Chianti Classico. And I moved to Milan studying economics and management, which was the first step for me out from home, but still connected to home, as I was able to come back in Chianti Classico every couple of weeks.
Right, of course.
After university and as a gift for the bachelor, I decided to go to Africa for 1 month. I was in Tanzania for a volunteer project in the middle of nowhere, 10 hours by bus. And that was a way to be connected to a different part of the world. And then after that experience, I came back and decided to go to the opposite of the world and move to New York for 3 months with the goal to find a job in that city. And one day during those 3 months, I went to a bar and met for the first time an investor of the company that I worked for 2 years and a half, which was Solex Fine Food, a fine food distributor that was connected to the major restaurants and the major chefs in New York City. I call those period as backpacking truffles because I was the Italian truffle specialist. That was my title.
Wow, what a job to find in New York. And I have to just say, I mean, it's incredibly brave too to go to New York without a job and make it work and make it happen. But you did it. Congratulations.
It was the passions of wanting to learn a different part of our industry, which was so fascinating by the kitchens and learning the chefs' techniques and asking them so many questions that really help to increase my passions about food and wine and the combinations of the two.
Italian Wine Podcast, part of the Mama Jumbo Shrimp family.
Okay, so you were walking around New York with a backpack full of truffles for a couple of years. Sounds amazing, working with top chefs. That's incredible. And then what happened after that?
After 2 years, I decided to come back to the wineries for a few months. I needed to feel reconnected to this terroir and see the wineries with the different eyes. More after a professional experience, I wanted to see the wineries with more attention. And after a few months, I didn't want to lose the connections that I built in New York. So I decided to move back to New York and join one of the three importers of the families, which was Beaulieu Imports. At that time, Beaulieu was really a startup importer, and I was the Northeast regional directors covering 10 markets in the Northeast. So not only New York, but also the New Jersey or Massachusetts as well.
Great. Well, we're going to dive into a little bit more about that experience working with Beaulieu and what that meant for your family's business and then the wineries, really getting to know the U.S. market by actually living here. So, you know, our three key takeaways for today's masterclass and what we're really excited to talk to you about are, number one, what are the benefits of working and living in the U.S. market for an Italian winery specifically? Some of the similarities and differences in terms of just living and work in Italy and in the U.S., New York specifically here in your case. And then finally, you know, we know how important that relationship is for the winery and the importer. So talking about some key reminders for Italian wineries to keep in mind when working with their U.S. importers. So for starters, give us a little more background on Beaulieu. You mentioned it was somewhat of a startup when you joined, but talk to us a little bit about Beaulieu as a company and a little bit more about what being the regional sales director meant and what you were doing in your role.
When I first joined Beaulieu was 2019. Beaulieu at that time still now based in Denver, Colorado. The owner, Charles Lazzara, really saw the visions of bringing consumer closer to the vineyard experience. And that was the mantra, the idea, and the visions of Beaulieu. And he's still passionate about Sangiovese and this unique varietal. So we had great connections right when we first met. And when I decided to join Beaulieu, the company was less than 10 people. I was the only one in the Northeast. And then there were three other regional sales director around the country, and then a small team in the operations and the marketing base in Colorado. So a true startup and an aspiring startup.
But also somewhat sounds like serendipitous to find a partner like Beaulieu that had such a passion for Sangiovese like you and your family's wineries do.
Correct. That was really the connections that we had. Which is Lazzara. And also I joined because right in 2019, we started collaborating with Beaulieu with the Famiglia Cecchi Estates, which were not imported in the US before. The Famiglia Cecchi Estates are four estates, twin Chianti Classico, Villa Cerna and Villa Rosa, one in Maremma, Val delle Rose, and one in Umbria with Tenuta Alzatura in Montefalco.
When you joined Beaulieu working for them in New York, you also had started somewhat recently had started the relationship of working with them as your importer for those wines, correct?
Correct. Yes. It was the beginning of launching the new wineries, new in the market in the US, except few exceptions, but really launching together with a new partner, Beaulieu, who was a fresh and new beginning for these estates.
Got it. In your role, Julia, were you focused only on Famiglia Cecchi or were you also working just the whole portfolio for Beaulieu? Tell us just a little bit more about what your role entailed.
It was at the beginning, it was the overall portfolio covering the 10 markets in the Northeast. And that was a true learning experience for me because I was able to not only learn about my family wineries, but also other appellations across Italy, because Voglio is mostly focused in Italian and family wineries. So it was a combination of the entire portfolio of Voglio.
Got it. Okay. That's what I thought. That makes sense. How many suppliers in the portfolio? I know it grew, the company grew as you were working there, but how many wineries when you started were you working with?
Voglio grew both in terms of suppliers, but and in terms of the team. Now the team is almost 20 people and grew also in terms of suppliers from the major regions and all regions from Italy, from Piedmont to really Sicily. And connecting Tuscany as well.
Today, you know, you left Voglio at the end of 2023. So when you left Voglio, how many suppliers did they have?
They have more than 35 suppliers.
Oh, wow. So that grew quite a bit. That's amazing. So Julia, talk to us a little bit about, you know, you picked up and moved to New York in a bold move without a job, worked for a fine food importer and distributor, and then came back to Italy and then back to New York to work for Voglio. So you had some experiences going back and forth. What was it like, you know, living in New York, and what were some of the most challenging but also rewarding parts of the experience that you had?
Well, New York was, I consider New York kind of a second home for me. It was in still a city with incredible energy that you may find just walking around the streets and with the different smells that you can find in the different part of the city. So really an inspiring city from the wine world, but also so many other industries. But of course, entering the wine world for me and in New York was challenging as well as incredible rewarding. I entered the wine world in a different country than Italy because I really wanted to find Julia first before and believing completely in this project and in the visions of my family. But I believe that any new generations needs to bring something new. Otherwise, it's not a new generations. So I wanted to test myself in a market as New York, where I was away from home, but still connected with home.
Right. And still in a related industry, but working for, you know, a different industry, working in the food space as well. I'd imagine that definitely that bringing the connections with the shops, understanding of, you know, the who are a primary customer, right, for the wine industry as well. So getting that experience, I'd imagine, was really valuable.
Correct. 100%. It was important to learn and be inspired by all of them and understand how the sommeliers were sharing new inputs and new visions and learn from them, more importantly, not only Italy, but also other regions across the world.
Right, right. Absolutely. So now that you're, you know, back in Italy and working with your family again, what would you say are some of the key learnings that you took away from both experiences of, you know, working in New York?
There are so many learning experiences that I had in these experiences. Definitely one of the most important ones is to have a clear and constant communications with your partners and with the new friends that you build. This industry and the wine world is so incredibly rewarding because you start a connection on the day-to-day work, but then you really build true friends and a lifelong friendship. So clear communications, persistency, and really share your values are the most important part that I learned on the day-to-day work in both with suppliers, with distributors, with sommeliers, and then really the final clients in restaurants.
Yeah. And when you say clear communication, I mean, absolutely. And how do you think communication is most effectively established for a winery and a supplier? Obviously, Italy to New York, it's not like you can be jumping on a plane every single week for meetings. But what do you think are the most effective ways that wineries can communicate with the market and with their importer?
First of all, the wineries need to do kind of an internal analysis of their visions and their dreams, where they would like to see the wine. So it will be like the aspirational goal and really the philosophy of the estate, and representing them with a clear message within the team at the winery, and then communicate it with their partners, not only in the US, but really across the world. I think the first step and the first analysis that is fundamental for these clear communications with the partners around the world.
So first, really understanding as a winery what you're trying to communicate first. It seems like step one is figure out your story, your vision, and what you want to communicate externally, correct?
Correct, yes. An analysis and a message that has to be internal and then external with your friends and the whole levels of partners across the world.
Got it, of course. And you know, talk to us now, Julia, now that you're back home, you know, you're part of the new generation and taking over in leadership in your family's wineries. What do you think this new generation in general in Italy, there's a lot of people coming into these next generation roles. What do you think that means for the Italian wine category as a whole?
Well, there is an incredible momentum right now across several appellations, both in Tuscany and Umbria, and I think very stimulating for all of us and all our generations. We're becoming friends more than colleagues, which I think it's the beauty of it. But it's not only in the wine world, in the winery scenario, but there are also new generations in all levels, like new sommeliers, new importers, new consumers as well. So the dream to learn more and be constantly in contact with, in a very simple way, with the different levels of our industry, from sommeliers to our friends in the wineries as well.
Right. And how do you think, I mean, it's incredible to kind of hear that, you know, that camaraderie, that energy, that's really exciting. How do you think that can be translated? You know, you lived in New York and the U.S. How do you think that energy can kind of translate to the U.S. market or the Italian wine category?
Well, there are several ways. The first one is that this energy is able to be shared now with instant and simple communications. Social network is the first step, and now we're becoming the basics for these communications, but really connects new generation, new people and consumers who want to learn or at least be exposed to the wine world, to starting to be connected directly with us and with the next generations at the winery level. So more and more people are traveling and visiting us at the wineries. So it helps to start not only one transactions, but a long lasting relationships with the different levels, with sommeliers and clients as well. So it helps to have shorter bridge in a way between final consumers and wineries.
Definitely. And I think, you know, Italy's always been such a popular destination for Americans. And I think it feels like even more so today. So it's a great opportunity there. But it sounds like travel is key and being in the market on both sides, getting, you know, your partners in the U.S. over to Italy, and then, you know, vice versa, making sure you're also spending time here in the market in the U.S. to really understand your partners.
Correct. Definitely. And it's a crescendo. So it's the beginning. And then step by step, we build friendships, which is the most important part.
Of course. It's the best part of this industry. <As we know. laughs>
Correct.
Yeah. Well, Julia, we're coming to the end. So we're going to do our rapid fire quiz that we do at the end of every episode, where we ask our guests three questions in order to really help our listeners understand the U.S. market. So if you can do your best, though, to answer these in one or two sentences, that would be wonderful. So question number one, what is your number one tip after living in New York for many years for mastering the U.S. wine market?
Visit it. Visit the U.S. because to really understand this market, you really need to feel the energy walking around the street and really be stimulated by the incredible exposures that the U.S. can offer. So definitely go visit it.
Maybe don't visit it right now in February. It's currently snowing, but
still beautiful anyway.
Yes, yeah, so beautiful in a different way. Okay, question number two. What is something you might have told your younger professional self about working in the wine industry?
Look at the big picture. Sometimes I focus my attention to small or irrelevant aspect instead of thinking about the bigger pictures and the long term project. So, but still focusing a lot of energy on this minimal aspect. So I would say to myself, look at the big picture.
I like that. Definitely. Put everything in perspective. And finally, what's your favorite travel hack? You know, when doing market work and traveling for work, you've obviously go back and forth from US to Italy quite a bit. So tell us some of your favorite tips.
When I travel for work, I always bring with me maps. Maps are really the way to connect the people in front of me to a little bit of the terroir where I come from, in Chianti Classico or Maremma or in Umbria and Montefalco. So maps are fundamental to bring the consumers closer to us and to the beautiful Tuscan vineyards.
I love that. That's a new one. I haven't heard that one before. Maps. Great. Fantastic. Well, Julia, thank you so much for joining us today on Masterclass US Wine Market on the Italian Wine Podcast. How can our listeners connect with you and follow along with everything, you know, that you're doing?
Definitely my LinkedIn profile, as well as Instagram, social network, and our the new way. So Instagram is definitely a way to connect with me. And hopefully some of the listeners will come to visit us directly at the wineries in Tuscany and Umbria. So to meet in person.
Always the best to meet in person, of course. All right. Well, thank you again, Julia, for being here with us today.
Thank you for the opportunity. And it was incredibly important for me and very exciting. So grazie.
Thank you for joining me today. Stay tuned each week for new episodes of Masterclass US Wine Market with me, Juliana Colangelo. And remember, if you enjoyed today's show, hit the like and follow buttons wherever you get your podcasts.